This is WHYY.
I'm Marty Moscow, and welcome to Radio Times. The Post Secret Project is a collection of personal and artfully decorated postcards of secrets sent anonymously from all over the world. Frank Warren began the project in 2004, and since then has received hundreds of thousands of postcards, some of which get posted online every week. Here are a few from this week. When I send out Christmas cards, I save the ugly stamps for people that I don't really like. All I want is for you to be honest with me and happy. I could never be disappointed in you, so don't be afraid. I wish I lived a more dangerous life. So why do we keep secrets, and why would we share them with someone we have never met who posts them online? Are there good secrets? Are there destructive ones? And what do our secrets say about who we are? We have two guests who have joined us, including Frank Warren. He's also the author of five books based on the Post Secret Project, including the most recent Confessions on Life, Death, and God. The Post Secret play has been touring throughout the country for the past few years. And Frank Warren, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
It's great to join you, Marty.
Nice to have you with us. And also with us is Elizabeth Bernstein, and she's the Bonds columnist at the Wall Street Journal, writes about all aspects of human interactions, whether at home or at work or among friends. And Elizabeth Bernstein, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thanks for having me.
Frank, let me begin with you. And I have to say, reading through this week's posting of some of these post secrets, I have to say I was quite moved by how poignant they are, how heartfelt they are, and they also felt very honest. Is that a kind of a typical posting of your postcards?
Yeah, they kind of take you on an emotional journey because secrets, as you know, can be painful, hopeful, sexual, funny, tragic. And they really are these deep confessions, often cases never told to anybody else before, revealed artfully on postcards and sent anonymously to my home. And I select a handful of them every week. And just recently they've been more holiday-related. And there is something about the holiday that I think can create secrets inside of us that are difficult to share with family or with friends. So I hope this is an outlet that can allow people to find that sense of relief.
And you've been doing this about 10 years. Do you know why a stranger would send you an anonymous postcard and tell you a secret, their secret?
Well, I feel very fortunate that almost 500,000 people have trusted me with their secrets over the years. It's a great privilege for me. And I think in some cases it's that commitment of anonymity. I used to work answering phones on a suicide prevention hotline. And it was extraordinary, the calls that would come in, the stories that we would hear, and knowing that those stories were probably being told for the first time, and that the people telling them had family, had friends. But sometimes you need that anonymous, non-judgmental person just to share with, to vent with. And what, for me, has been a real inspiring part of the website is how it connects with people reading the secret. Sometimes you can go to the Post Secret website, read a secret from a stranger that's your secret, articulated better than you could say it yourself.
Well, let me get you in on the conversation, Elizabeth. And it's interesting, you're a Bonds columnist, and here we are talking about secrets. What's the connection there?
Well, my column is about relationships, so a little Wall Street Journal humor there, Bonds
right.
on relationships.
Right.
So it's the connection there is these are secrets often have to do with other people, whether it's about somebody else or it's something that we really, truly, we're thinking about someone else. We don't want them to know, obviously. So it becomes very anxious. So this is all about, in my mind, our relationships. It wouldn't be a secret if we weren't thinking about it, other somebody else, and how we don't want to tell them. That's the stress there.
But do you understand the kind of trusted stranger that Frank Warren seems to be to so many people?
Absolutely. I think there's a long history of it, even if you think of, Catholic confession, a long history of this. People keep their journals, and they think often of, this will come out after I'm gone. Someone will read this. I'll publish this even after I'm gone. So this need to let it out, it really becomes overwhelming. You're keeping this secret, and it can come so stressful. So this need for this person who is anonymous, so therefore they're non-judgmental, is very important.
And have you ever felt, Frank, that the need to respond to someone? I mean, feeling perhaps they're in some kind of danger because of an anonymous postcard?
Yeah, I do get painful secrets every day. I think there's something about secrets in their nature that most of them are heavy. All of them come anonymously to my home, but I do feel this urge to want to reach out and help. I've tried to channel that by sharing mental health resources on the web. And in 10 years, the post-secret community has raised over $1 million for suicide prevention. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the ways I try and channel that feeling of wanting to make the connection. But I think also, too, in many ways, people mailing their secrets to me, they find the words to take ownership of their secret. They put it on this tangible postcard, and they let it go. And I think for some, that's enough.
Well, and I wanted to, picking up on, Elizabeth, this notion of being non-judgmental. And I think when there's a secret within a relationship, it's hard to be non-judgmental about the person who's perhaps keeping that secret.
Exactly. And the longer we're together, so if this is a long-term relationship, if this is somebody, you know, in your family, family of origin you grew up with, if this is a spouse, a child, it becomes even more overwhelming because the risk you think of relaying that secret, of revealing it, is very, very high. There's not a lot of risk with a stranger. Mm-hmm. That's the lowest risk. And then maybe, you know, someone you just met, an acquaintance. But the more you're connected to somebody, the more that risk goes. So, it's very much a very hard thing.
But can you see, Elizabeth, a place for secrets or a secret within a relationship?
Sure. I think that there needs to be some secrets in relationships. How you define a secret is important, and also the level of a secret and the level of hurt that would be would happen if that secret was revealed is very important. So, say in a marriage, you don't want to have major secrets. If it's something that would derail the marriage, if it was told, if it was out there, then you want to be careful. Those are not the secrets to keep. A secret, I stopped for one beer after work, once this week, or I, bought a pair of shoes. I don't want to tell him. Those, those are different than the big, big secrets.
But you're saying the big secrets need to be told somehow?
I think in a marriage, yes. I think certainly the problem is it's a slippery slope. So I'm flirting with a coworker. When does that become I am, really like this person, and now we're spending too much time together, and we're down a slope of infidelity, financial issues. These are things that you need to be open about with your spouse. So when just talking about marriages. So I think there are secrets that can be very harmful in relationships, and then there are secrets, it's good. That you don't need to tell everybody everything.
Well, Frank, you do something very interesting, something very specific, and we're sort of toggling back and forth between you and Elizabeth about secrets. In certain ways, you're an expert on secrets because you've been told so many of them. Do you think there's a place for keeping a secret a secret?
Yeah, I think all of us in some ways are keeping secrets from our spouses right now. I know I have some hidden Christmas gifts, very innocuous, of course, but I think as we're talking about that slippery slope, there are healthy secrets to keep for the right reasons. But I think, too, that I think we've all been that stranger on a train or on that flight who's listened to somebody really open up, and in some ways maybe they're taking that first step in a longer journey where they can find their way to tell that secret to a friend or a family member or the person it's about.
I'm looking at some of the other secrets that are posted on your site, Frank, and one that really moved me. There's a picture of a pair of handcuffs, and underneath it says, "I protect and serve, but deep down, I feel like the enemy." Almost a haiku in there.
Yeah, I think a postcard is a very limited amount of space to really express the secret that might be a heavy burden in your life. Maybe you've carried it for decades.
Right.
And a secret like that, it would be difficult to share it professionally or even within your family. And so I do think this is an outlet that allows people not just to share, but others to come to the web or purchase a post-secret book and find that secret they might be carrying too. And sometimes just knowing that you're not alone in carrying that secret is enough to lift some of the burden you might feel.
And Elizabeth, do you think they're kind of common secrets that all of us have, common themes of secrets?
I do. Probably one of the most common secrets that's mailed to me is I pee in the shower.
I know. I read that. I didn't get that.
Well, some people get them, some people don't.
I don't know what that says about me, yes.
Other stories I get are from people on that search, I think, trying to find that person in the world who they can tell all their mm-hmm. secrets to. And that's a secret I see told many different ways on many postcards every week.
What do you think, Elizabeth?
I think it's interesting. As a columnist, I get a lot of letters. They're not the same. They're not people telling me specifically their secrets, but they are often anonymous. They're not signed, and the emails, but they're not giving me a name and telling me who they are. And they will say it's always something very striking. And in these cases, because of what I write about, it's about a relationship. They're very worried about something. They don't know how to tell somebody something. And I think it's striking to me how badly they need to say it, like how they need to reach out, how they sort of, and sometimes I write back if it seems almost like a situation that's mm-hmm. dangerous and try to point them in the right direction of professional help, frankly, and I never hear back again, and that always suggests to me that they really just needed to tell somebody. They didn't, you know, they needed this burden off of them, which I always find really interesting.
Well, me too, and does that feel like a burden for you, Elizabeth, to be holding someone's secret?
In that case, because they're unlike where they're just sending a postcard with a striking secret, here they are asking for help. They're often saying, what's the advice? And so then it can feel very tough, like, wow, I've got this person out there. For example, recently it was a woman very worried about her teenage daughter who was becoming more and more withdrawn and the arguing, and she was afraid to even tell the husband how much arguing between the mother and daughter was going on. So you feel very much like, wow, something might be derailing, and, you know, I need to help, and yet I really, you know, I'm a stranger.
Sure.
How can I help?
Well, and we're almost up in a break here, but, I mean, it also sounds, Elizabeth, like people either need to figure out what words to say to somebody, how to reveal a secret if that secret is gnawing at them, and the sort of difficulty of doing that within the bounds of a relationship.
Exactly. And I think it's as Frank's saying, like sometimes just the reaching out to a stranger is starting to practice that, is to, you know, they're starting to formulate what the issue is, what the secret is, and what they're mm-hmm. going to say about it.
And Frank, is doing what people do with both you and Elizabeth, in a sense, us talking to ourselves?
Yeah, that's really insightful, I think. The first person we have to share our secret with is ourselves. And in some ways, I think that the process of putting it on a postcard and letting it go, even anonymously, is a way to come out to yourself about many issues. And through this whole process, I think secrets, when we keep them tightly inside, they can feel like walls that separate us, that isolate us from one another. But if we can find the courage to release them, to share them in the right ways, I think they build bridges between us and others and us and our deeper selves.
And that's Frank Warren. He's the creator of the Post Secret Project, joining us along with Elizabeth Bernstein. She's the bonds columnist at the Wall Street Journal, not to be confused with stocks and bonds. And we're talking about secrets, why we keep them, why they sometimes feel burdensome, how to reveal them. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, International House Philadelphia, an independent nonprofit dedicated to advancing cultural dialogue, presents Free to Love, the Cinema of the Sexual Revolution, January 10th through February 15th. Funded by the Pew Center for Arts and Heritage, Free to Love explores the intersections of the sexual revolution and popular entertainment in the 60s and 70s, with films, guest speakers, and more. 215-387-5125 or ihousephilly.org/freetolove. April 15th may be months away, but now is the time to get your last-minute tax deduction. Support WHYY now to help us end the year on a high note. Whether you give a sustaining gift, have your employer match your gift, donate your car, or make a direct IRA rollover to WHYY, time is running out to make a tax-deductible donation. Explore the many ways to support WHYY. Call 1-888-345-WHYY or visit whyy.org/support.
I'm Robin Young. Next time on Here and Now, our favorite choral director with his choices for classical Christmas music, everything from Bach to the most beloved French carol. That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen talking about something we all have some connection to, secrets. Have you ever or never shared a secret, something you have kept to yourself for your for a whole probably host of reasons? Are you good at keeping secrets? Are there good secrets, bad secrets? Give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. And again, our guests are Frank Warren, creator of the Post Secret Project, and Elizabeth Bernstein, Bonds columnist at the Wall Street Journal. And Frank, let me just read a couple more posts from your website. This is one that also really, really touched me. This one says, after I shoot my gun, I feel strong, accomplished, and in control, ... for about an hour.
Yeah, I'm paging through one of the Post Secret books too now, and yeah, the secrets, they just touch on everything. Here's one that was mailed to me on newspaper that says, I haven't seen you since we broke up, but I still read your horoscope every morning and always hope you have a good day. And the one next to it, written on a different page from the newspaper, says, I check the obituaries every day, hoping my ex-boyfriend is dead.
Wow.
So you can see the full range, these stories of frailty and heroism playing out in the lives of people all around us. And I feel like when we uncover these secrets, we slowly discover that hidden landscape that we all recognize but nobody talks about.
Frank, I'm looking at another one. It's a little more humorous. It says here, I lie to my gynecologist about everything.
And one in the holiday spirit I had on the website was a father and a daughter who go to a hospital. He dresses up as Santa. They give out gifts. And his secret is that he's Jewish.
Oh. Elizabeth, let me get back to you. And I'm wondering even the kind of advice that you give if someone feels like, I cannot contain this secret anymore, and I really need to reveal it to somebody. I'm being very generic here, but how should we think about, unburdening ourselves, or when it's the right thing to tell a secret to somebody?
Well, that's right. I'm struck, just even as I'm listening here, to how much emotion and vulnerability is in these secrets, too.
Yeah.
And I know that when they come to me, so when I get the emails. So I always encourage people first, you know, that there might be somebody who's not a stranger, but who is trained, who can talk to them. So maybe it's a clergy member, maybe it's a counselor. Sometimes it seems, I get younger people writing, so I feel like they might even feel more isolated. So, you know, is there a school counselor, somebody like that to talk to, who is sort of trained and knows what to do with this? But I also really stress communication. If it's something that's so important to you and you need someone to know it, then maybe, you know, there's got to be a way to say it. So there's probably a way to figure that out, to sort of explain up front, I have something that's very worrisome to me. It's been stressing me out, frankly. I want to tell you, but could you not judge me? Could you just hear it?
Yeah.
I've had a lot of these times, the secret, if when you're keeping it, it becomes so important to keep that secret. It becomes so much larger than life that when you actually tell it, most of these secrets are not going to be that, maybe even surprising, but they're really not going to be taken the wrong way.
Maybe not as destructive as we think they might be, something like that.
Exactly.
Does that make sense to you, Frank?
It does. I think sometimes you bottle a secret up inside of you and it grows into this huge burden where the concealment is more detrimental than the secret itself. And so if you can be part of a community where you're seeing other people courageously share secrets, be vulnerable, it can inspire you to see somebody else's secret and think, oh, that's not such a big deal. Maybe mine's not such a big deal either. And you can put it on a postcard or share it with a parent or a friend. But I will say that it seems like the institutions in the past that traditionally have been there for us to share with, whether it's the role the church has played in our life or psychotherapy or even the family institution, they seem to be breaking down, even with pharmaceuticals replacing the talking cure. So there are different places I think people are looking to share, especially that's being seen online.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, online seems to be this place where people share and even overshare sometimes.
Yeah, I feel like post-secret is part of this wave of cultural change that we're seeing right now, where young people are drawing that line of what's personal and what's public in a much different place than their parents' generation did. And you can see that with sharing on Facebook or Pinterest or texting with friends.
Right.
And because of that, you're seeing even laws having to catch up with how much sharing is happening in the digital world.
Do you see that as a problem, Elizabeth, or is it just technology is allowing us to be perhaps more open, willingly or unwillingly, about our lives?
I do think that oversharing is a problem. And again, I agree with Frank. It's a cultural thing that's going on with social media. There's reality TV where people are putting everything out there.
Yes, they are.
And it's certainly for people who grew up before all of this, and you don't even have to be that old, actually, to have, or maybe I just say that because I did, but I grew up without it, but you don't, for people who grew up without it, we have, I think, maybe a stronger understanding of what should be private and what's not, but kids, teenagers growing up in this environment where if they turn on the TV or they turn on the computer, it looks like everything is public, it's very hard for them to navigate that. Mm. They don't really understand it, and I think that they also don't, a lot of people don't understand this is public. It's not you're alone maybe in your, you know, living room sitting on the couch writing on your computer, but you are broadcasting, and I don't think that people realize how much of what we are saying now is broadcasting. That's where the problem comes, how many people you're telling.
Let me just quickly reintroduce you, and that's Elizabeth Bernstein. She's the Bonds columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Also with us, Frank Warren, creator of the Post-Secret Project, and again, has been collecting anonymous postcards over the last almost 10 years, people putting their secrets on these postcards, mailing them to him, and he posts them every week online. He's also written 5 books based on the Post-Secret Project, and the Post-Secret Play has been touring throughout the country for the past few years. We're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. I have to say, from the phone screeners on Radio Times, we sometimes hear people's secrets, and they call into us as well. 1-888-477-WHYY. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. Frank, I'm also thinking about the secrets that we keep, not from others, but from ourselves. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, I remember one postcard I received from an individual, and the words on the card had been torn away through the mail process, and I like that sometimes, almost as if the secret has a life of its own. And so I posted it on the web at postsecret.com the way it had arrived, which was very different than I could tell the way the person had intended it originally. But I got an email a few days later from the guy who mailed it to me, and he identified the postmark on the back, so I knew it was his, and he said, "When I wrote this postcard, the secret to post-secret, I tried to make up a good post-secret secret."
Oh, interesting.
But he said the way the card had been damaged in the mail and how it appeared on the website now, that was a true secret in his life. And so sometimes I think this asking somebody to put a secret on a postcard sounds very simple.
Right.
But it's subversive. There's a little trick there, because even if you feel like you're making up a secret and you're putting it on that postcard, that story, that confession is coming from somewhere. And I really do think most of the people who are sharing secrets with me are first coming out with those secrets to themselves and trying to start someplace to find a way to share it with others and really kind of allow themselves to let it go or move beyond it.
Do you remember what his secret was?
It had to do with hope in the new year.
Oh.
I posted it years ago, but it's kind of appropriate now with 2014 approaching.
Indeed. Elizabeth, and I'm sure you get this question all the time, and this is, of course, the secret affair. How does someone handle having an affair within a relationship? Or even, I think even more complicated, let's say you know that someone, a friend of yours perhaps, is having an affair in their relationship. Do you go to them and say, "I know what's going on here"? Do you tell the other partner about what's going on? How have you wrestled with issues about secrets and affairs?
It's interesting, and that also brings up another area we haven't talked about of secrets, is other people's secrets. So uh-huh. There's a lot of people, I've had therapists I interview tell me, a lot of people, the problem is that they're telling other people's secrets. So an example would be the spouse who runs around town and tells, all the friends that she wants a divorce but doesn't tell the husband first. Or one big area is mothers who tell the daughter's secrets, the teenage daughter's secrets, or even an adult daughter's. Like, they feel like it's just an extension of them. That's a big issue in therapy. So that area. And the affair, of course, is a sticky one because it can start slowly, right? Affairs don't just, you know, you don't just say hello and you're in bed. They start slowly. So where do you feel that you need to disclose something? Is it, you know, that you went to lunch with a coworker, or, you know, there's too many fun emails? Like, where is it that you need to disclose it? Again, it's very important that in a marriage you would have trust or relationship, so that you the idea that you would have to reveal every single thing you did all day, every single person you talked to or emailed, is not a good trust builder. That, you know, therapists know that. You need to be able to step back and let your spouse have some space and trust them. Yet, where, you know, there's that slippery slope in there. For me, if I was on the outside and I saw somebody, I knew they're having an affair, say a friend, I wouldn't run to the spouse. I would think that my duty as a friend or as an outsider would be to do no harm. And so I would go to the person, maybe thinking, you know, figuring out how well I know them, but I would go to the person who's having the affair and say, you know, depending on my relationship with them, either, hey, what's up, or, you know, do you need help? What, you know, what can we, you know, I've noticed this. And you can say, look, it puts me in a spot now. So if, you know, this, you know, the person who's being cheated on. But I feel like you can do more harm by telling someone else's secret than just keeping it.
Again, Frank, does that make sense to you?
It does, but you have to be careful about how you apply generalities like that, because I would say, you know, statistically in this country, in the amount of time we've been talking right there now, there have been one or two murders, but there have been more suicides. And one of the biggest secrets, I think, in this country, maybe a secret we keep from ourselves, is this idea of suicide and the issue. I talk about this quite a bit at post-secret events, and it comes up in the post-secret play. And sometimes I feel like individuals don't feel comfortable talking about those feelings of depression or isolation that might be closing in on them. And it's important for them to know that it's okay to express that. You're not alone. There is hope and help available. And maybe coming out of that experience is a way to find your own story, so later in life you can turn around and give a hand to those who are struggling currently. But to start is to share that secret.
But what you're also telling us, Frank, is that countries have secrets, and perhaps that's a form of denial, right?
Individuals have secrets, families have secrets, larger social groups do, and countries do also. Yeah, and I think that, as we talked about earlier with Elizabeth, there's the idea of ownership with a secret that can tie us into a knot. Who owns that family secret? Is it more important for you to conceal it for the family? Is it important to share it? Who can you share it with? Sometimes sharing a secret can be the act that really can crumble things in a larger relationship. Mm-hmm. So a lot has to be considered, because, you know, ultimately there are two kinds of secrets, the ones we keep from others and the secrets that we hide from ourselves.
Listeners, I want to pick up on something you said about mothers revealing their daughter's secrets, that's perhaps more common than we think. Can you expand on that?
Well, it's interesting to me. I hear all sorts of problems in relationships in my column, and I'm always looking for topics to write. And as I mentioned, therapists have told me over and over, you know, one of the big issues in oversharing, I've looked at this oversharing, I've written about oversharing in the workplace, just oversharing in general, why we do it, what type of personality does it more. So therapists have said, you know, the big issue is this, that mothers feel that, some mothers feel like their daughters are not even sort of a different individual. They're an extension of them. So anything that the mother, you know, anything that the daughter feels actually or says or does, the mother feels that that's her business. And not just her business to know about, but her business to tell anybody else about. So, and that, as you can imagine, especially with a younger daughter, a teenager who is, you know, starting to come into her own and really differentiate herself in the world, that is a major problem in those relationships, not a healthy relationship. So mothers have to be very careful about that and realize that, you know, my daughter is a different person. And whether I just know this information third hand or she's told me, this is not mine to share just because I'm her mother.
And you don't see it with mothers and sons or fathers and sons quite as commonly?
I think part of the issue is that the men, males are not as open. They're not often sharing the secrets, or they're not emotionally as open. So it may be that they're more quiet, or they more naturally respect sort of a privacy as well. But it's a big issue with mothers and daughters.
Do you think men don't gossip as much as women? Do you think there's a connection between gossip and secrets, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I bet there is a connection, because a while ago I had a secret, which I will not reveal
okay,
on the radio,
that's
but
okay.
A number of years ago, and I told three friends. And I knew when I told them, though, the three of them, they know each other well, and I know they're going to talk about it. And I very consciously, you know, decided I still want to tell them these. I still want to tell my friends and get their advice. I know they're going to talk about it. And it was just a matter of hours before the email came back from my best friend saying, see, so-and-so wrote me. She wants to talk about your secret. So you have to know when you're telling your secret that it's probably going to get out there too. So there's a secret we tell nobody, and there's the secrets we tell a few people, and we need to know once you say it, it's out there. That's a thing, and then it turns into gossip.
Well, let me quote good old Benjamin Franklin. He said, three may keep a secret if two of them are dead.
Exactly. That's it. You don't wish your friends dead, hopefully, so you better keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, exactly. Do you see, Frank, that there can be a kind of power dynamic related to secrets, either holding them or revealing them?
Yeah, well, we touched a little bit about the difference of the sexes, and I see that as well with the postcards I receive. I get many more from young women than older men, especially, and I think we touched on it a little bit, the idea that men might see that kind of secret sharing, or confession, as expressing a weakness or a vulnerability, or maybe women sharing these stories builds a sense of community or intimacy, connection. Mm. And ultimately, I think secrets are that currency, the currency of intimacy.
Because it connects us with each other, or how do you mean that?
I think if you're keeping a lot of secrets, you feel isolated, you feel alone, you feel different, you feel this gap between you and others, whether it's friends or family. But if you're open and you're sharing not only your stories, that invites the people you're around to see that vulnerability, that courage, and feel comfortable telling their stories to you as well. And I think that ultimately, sharing our deepest stories, is the way we can connect and feel most whole with others and who we are.
Well, let's take another short break and we'll get back to our conversation. We are talking about secrets, the power of secrets, why some we keep to ourselves, when it makes sense to share them with others. And our guests, again, are Elizabeth Bernstein. She's the Bonds columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Writes about all aspects of human interactions. Frank Warren is the creator of the Post Secret Project. And again, a collection of postcards that have been mailed anonymously from all over, and people telling their secrets. It's a project that has been going on for about 9 years now. And again, we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, International House Philadelphia, an independent nonprofit dedicated to advancing cultural dialogue, presents Free to Love, the Cinema of the Sexual Revolution, January 10th through February 15th. Funded by the Pew Center for Arts and Heritage, Free to Love explores the intersections of the sexual revolution and popular entertainment in the 60s and 70s, with films, guest speakers, and more. 215-387-5125 or ihousephilly.org/freetolove.
April 15th may be months away, but now is the time to get your last-minute tax deduction. Support WHYY now to help us end the year on a high note. Whether you give a sustaining gift, have your employer match your gift, donate your car, or make a direct IRA rollover to WHYY, time is running out to make a tax-deductible donation. Explore the many ways to support WHYY. Call 1-888-345-WHYY or visit whyy.org/support.
I'm Robin Young. Next time on Here and Now, our favorite choral director with his choices for classical Christmas music, everything from Bach to the most beloved French carol. That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Let me read a couple of more postcards from the Post Secret Project from their website, postsecret.com. This is from this week's collection of postcards. One reads, "I never felt bullied until I began teaching eighth graders can be so mean. My parents want me to wait until after the holidays to come out to my grandparents. Honestly, I'd rather they know and not invite me to Christmas than to have to keep hiding the truth. I love them too much." And then another, "I don't know how to tell my brother that I need him right now more than ever. We haven't talked in so long. I still love you, brother. Just please just call plain and simple." And again, we are talking about secrets in this hour of Radio Times with Frank Warren and with Elizabeth Bernstein. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Elizabeth, you've been talking about, or we had been talking about, this kind of slippery slope idea. When does a secret become a lie, do you think? And I realize that slippery slope is, you know, is slippery. So I'm just curious about how you think about that.
It's such a good question. When does a secret become a lie? I think when the guilt comes in. So, you know, maybe when you know you're doing something wrong by keeping this secret. So many of these secrets are about me, the person. I'm keeping it. I want to tell somebody. I want to tell my brother I love him. Please, you know, reach out to me. But if you're doing something that was hurting your brother, that would be the lie then. I think that's where, if it's harmful and you're, you know, you're doing something wrong, that's where that would come in. I think that's interesting. I was struck by the suicide when we were talking about suicide a little bit ago.
Sure.
I wanted to go back to that.
Sure.
That might be the ultimate stigma secret, and it's so hard to tell. You know, and people who are depressed and people who are sliding into that kind of depression and thinking about harming themselves are really isolated. And so it becomes harder to just even reach out for little things like, hey, let's have dinner, much less let me tell you these thoughts that are in my head that are so dark. And so that I don't know the answer to it other than tell anybody, tell a stranger, call the hotline. It's when Frank was talking about it, I really was thinking, you know, there's these secrets that we sort of keep, and then there's this stigma. There's ones that have such stigma that is hard to beat. And I think it's a issue that I've cared about for a long time. I've written about mental health before for a long time for the journal, and I just feel so strongly that it's a societal issue now, that we need to make it easier for people to say I'm depressed, so that it shouldn't be the stigma that it is, that people are so worried that they can't say I have this one disease, I have depression, but it's okay to have, you know, any other kind of disease.
And Frank, it seems like this is an issue of deep interest to you, suicide prevention.
Yeah, certainly. I've volunteered on a hope line. I've lost friends and a family member to suicide. I've struggled and had to ask for help myself. And as we talk about this issue, I think it's important that we understand that all of us have a bit of responsibility, too, to make sure people who might be in pain feel like they can share their secrets with us. And so that could be as simple as just asking somebody you're concerned with, hey, are you okay? I'm worried about you. You can talk to me about anything. You know, before you do anything, call me first. There are resources. We can get through this together. I hurt too. Just tell me your story, and I won't judge. Let's talk. So sometimes part of that sharing a secret process is us making sure we open up and maybe even being a little bit vulnerable first so that other person knows that they can really trust us with something that they feel could be hurtful if shared the wrong way.
Let me get to our callers. It looks like we have David from Central New Jersey joining us on Radio Times. And David, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I just think I'm affirming what the interviewee is saying in some respects. I think a secret is usually about something that makes you feel separate from the rest of humanity. And when you finally share it, I would say in general, you realize that you're not, that you're very much connected, that there's nothing that you've done that is completely outside the bounds of being a decent human being, whatever failure it is. And then I think the other part is it reaffirms by finding someone you can tell it to that there are people in life who are very noble examples and make you want to keep on going.
Well, David, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. And Elizabeth, let me give you a chance to respond. I mean, it sounds like what he's saying is that a secret can be a lonely thing to have.
It can be terribly lonely to have, and then that's where it can become larger than life to us. We can start to obsess about it, and it seems like it's the all-important thing. And we lose sight, because we haven't told it, of this idea that there are other people. I completely agree. There's other people who have probably struggled with something similar. As the caller was speaking, I was thinking, you know, there's probably not a secret out there right now, today, that hasn't been felt over the course of, you know, mankind, that somebody else hasn't had or many people haven't had. So, you know, you're not alone. You just don't know that if you're not sharing the secret.
David, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Let me see what Valerie from Mount Airy has to say. Hi, Valerie. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm a marriage and family therapist, and I work a lot with addicts and their families in recovery. And there's an expression in the addiction field that it's the secrets that keep you sick. And there's also substantial research and evidence that shows that that is very real. First of all, people who write down a secret, don't even show it to anybody, their blood pressure will go down. And we are transmitting the most painful secrets from parents to children through our facial expressions anyway. And it plays out generation after generation. There is a physician named Peter Sanders who has done a lot of work and has written a book, I can't remember the name, that shows that when secrets, intergenerational secrets, are unearthed, that symptoms go away.
That's fascinating.
Very powerfully.
Yes. And well, Valerie, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. And Frank, do you want to respond to her comments?
Well, you have some wise, well-spoken audience members for sure listening to this conversation. I would say that one of the things I've learned through my 10-year journey through 500,000 postcards and secrets is that everybody has a secret that could break your heart. Right. And if we just could realize that and really feel it, I think there'd be more understanding, more compassion, and maybe more peace in the world.
And Elizabeth, our caller talked about, you know, the sort of physical effects of keeping a secret. And of course, there are emotional, both emotional and physical effects as well.
Exactly. I mean, we know now that our emotions are tied to our physical body, that this is not your mind versus body. They're very tied together. So I'm not surprised to hear about that research. It's striking, but it seems also, of course, you know, that they could make us sick if we're worried about something over and over.
Well, and as she's also talking about the fact that very few of us have a poker face. So we're revealing stuff about ourselves, even if we might be denying them at the same time, Elizabeth.
Exactly. And I recently wrote about sort of brain scans in women, men and women from University of Pennsylvania. I had an interesting study earlier this month. And what they do know, too, is that women can read facial expressions. They can read tone of voice better than men. They're both wired that way. And they also were sort of trained, if you will. You know, little girls are told, here's your doll, nurture it. You know, we are very attuned and scanning always for the threats, women. So I'm wondering, as you're speaking, you know, if there's a gender difference, too, that, you know, women can pick up on secrets, or they, you know, have that, you know, female sense. That's what people think.
Do you think they have a female sense, Frank?
I think it cuts both ways, unfortunately. I think that women are socialized to be nurturing and avoid conflict. And so because of that, I think that might put pressure on women to keep secrets a little bit more if they felt that revealing that feeling would lead to a conflict, even if it were their truth.
Let me get back to our callers at 1-888-477-9499. We have, looks like Brian. Brian joining us from Central New Jersey. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I just want to, I heard an expression once that was called lying by omission, and keeping a secret is, in essence, you know, you're lying by omitting the truth, by not telling somebody something that might be pertinent or relevant.
Do you see it that way, Frank? I mean, is a secret always a lie?
I think secrets reveal all parts of our humanity. I don't like to think of them as exclusively sinful or dysfunctional. I think they can be hidden acts of kindness, too. I get those secrets as well as the secrets that just kind of make you chuckle and realize all the stuff that's happening in the world around us that we might be unaware of. I remember one secret that was mailed to me. It had been written on a Starbucks cup, and the secret on the cup that was mailed to me said, "I serve decaf to customers who are rude to me."
And we know about how Starbucks, how strong Starbucks coffee is. Elizabeth, anything you want to add to what Brian was asking about or commenting about? Thinking that.
I think it's interesting. I think you can definitely view secrets as lies, but as Frank was saying, some of them are helpful. Little white lies are sort of social grease. They, you know, "Honey, I hate your haircut." "Yes, honey, you do look chubby in those jeans." Like, these are not things, you know, they might be my secret that I feel this way, but it's not helpful or even kind to be revealing everything. So some secrets are just truly about us, you know, and some secrets are we're protecting somebody for a good reason. So I don't know that all of them are lies, but certainly there are lies of omission, and those go back to real lies. Like, it's you're just not saying something that is important that you should be saying. To me, a lie of omission is not secrets aren't always lies of omissions, but a lie of omission is as bad as a lie.
Let me ask you something else, Elizabeth, since you deal with relationships. Does it take time, though, to recover from some kind of secret sharing? And by that, I mean someone tells you something maybe you don't want to hear that has been a secret. You have a relationship. And unlike Frank, who doesn't have a kind of relationship with the people that are posting or sending him postcards, this is someone in your life, and you just told them something.
It can be very hard. It can be a burden on somebody. I am thinking of one that's now out of my family, but I have two sisters. One of them called several years ago and said she was sick. She thought she had cancer, and she was very worried, and could I come visit her right away to wait for the test? So I did, and she said, "Please don't tell anybody else in the family. Don't tell Mom, Dad, or my other sister." Well, here's the issue. They're all doctors, so don't tell them. So I didn't. I did what my sister asked. I ran to her, you know, ran out of state, went to see her, was there. Luckily, she didn't have cancer. But what happened later then was how upset everybody else in my family was that, A, they didn't know and couldn't help, B, that they felt that they were educated and on the topic more than I am. I'm not a doctor. And just how betrayed everybody felt that she just didn't want people to know. And she just wanted to get through it with a weekend. She wanted to get through the weekend until the test came without raising the alarm and upsetting everybody. So I was surprised at sort of how I stepped in it, so to speak, you know, and how I, by keeping someone secret, I was hurting other people. That was a lesson for me.
And I'm assuming it took some time and conversation to understand what happened that weekend.
Exactly.
And why you were there.
It took time. Yeah, it took time to sort of say, why didn't, no one was mad at my sister. They were all upset, like, "Elizabeth, why didn't you call us? Why didn't you tell us we could have helped?" And I sort of, you know, was just, A, very, very upset by the whole situation that she might be sick, and was thinking, like, I better get there and help her, and didn't really think it through that I should have maybe taken the secret onto myself and then said to my family, "Look, don't tell her, but I need to tell you this." So, again, you don't know what to do with other people's secrets. It took a lot of repairing, actually.
Let me see what Valerie has to say. Valerie, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, Marty.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to say I've learned from my children. I have four children, different ages, and I think what I've learned from them is there's no such thing as a secret, in the sense that whether it's secret or private, more private information, that kind of thing, once you've told them, and we're social beings. People talk and things come out because there's no tag in your brain saying, this is information I can say or cannot say to this person or that person. It becomes information. And, you know, we don't have these layers of buckets of information in the brain where we can actually get the right information out at the right time. It's too much to handle.
Well,
and
you know,
I think it applies to adults too, and anybody really. But
well, that's interesting, Valerie, and I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Frank, we're almost out of time here, but I know that Post Secrets is a play as well. Is it a play sort of reading the things that we have been reading on the air here?
Yeah, it starts with Never Before Seen Secrets, and then it brings in the stories behind the secrets that can really be powerful. In fact, I've got an email in front of me from somebody who sent me an email that says, Dear Frank, I have made 6 postcards, all with secrets that I was afraid to tell the one person I tell everything to, my boyfriend. This morning I planned to mail them to you, but instead I left them on the pillow next to his head while he was sleeping. 10 minutes ago, he arrived at my office and asked me to marry him. I said yes.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful.
So stories like that and many others are going to be at the Post Secret Play in Charlotte, North Carolina in April.
Well, Frank Warren, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times.
It's been my pleasure.
And he's the creator of the Post Secret Project. You can go to the website postsecret.com. Elizabeth Bernstein, thank you very much for joining us as well.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. And she's the bonds columnist at the Wall Street Journal. We appreciate those phone calls to Radio Times. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes to find out more about this program. We want to close things out with the Beatles' 1963 hit, Do You Want to Know a Secret?
Listen, do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell? Let me whisper in your ear, say the words you long to hear. I'm in love with you. Ooh. Listen, do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell?